and will be coming up on the screen as well. If you've launched YouVersion Live, the teaching notes are there. If we've not met, my name's Tom, and this is Jason. Jason's one of our teaching pastors and also works in our IT department, so that means he takes care of like 300 different computers or something like that, you know, and he's a real blessing in that area, and again, serves on our teaching team. But we've been in the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, this is week number 9 because we're taking one chapter per week, and so we're getting close, right? Yeah. So chapter 12 is coming, so encouraging you to read it, that chapter over and over and over. Next week, we'll be in chapter 10, going to be talking about living under God's protective hand. What does that mean? What's it look like? You know, do things still come into our life and so on? We'll be talking about that next week. It's Ecclesiastes chapter 10, so be reading ahead. Let me ask you this question. When you wake up in the morning, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Yeah, okay, so Hami said, I'm looking for coffee, right?
Starbucks.
Yeah, exactly, yay. You know, that, and me too, and I got to get that into my wife's hand because it will go a whole lot better that day. But how do we approach the morning time? How do we approach the brand new day? I mean, for some of us, think about it, and don't respond, just think about it. It's like maybe we approach it really discouraged, like it's another day. This is another day. And discouragement has set in, and I just got to make it through this day so I can, like, put my head in a pillow at night, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and or maybe you're one of those. Your feet hit the floor, and off you go. What is it that you think about when you hit the day? Because that's what we're talking about.
Absolutely.
Talking about today. You know, about a month or so ago, 6 weeks maybe, I found myself, it was crazy because I'm an upbeat person. So I get up early, and typically I'm hitting the day running and so on. But I was really discouraged. And I got to tell you that I was. You know, I told Jenna, I said, "Oh man, I'm like dragging. I don't know what's going on." And you know what I discovered? I was so focused in on events in the world, and events in our country, and stuff that was going on. And also, I allowed that stuff to kind of come in. And I found myself getting really, really discouraged because I got my eyes off of who Jesus is and got my eyes on stuff that was going on. And when I reminded myself that the church is the church and he's still the Lord of the church, he's still God, and all this other stuff ultimately doesn't make any difference, and then I snapped out of it. Now, I don't know if you've been there or not, but that's where I was. You know, so those thoughts begin to consume my mind. So what is it that enters our mind? That's what we're talking about today.
Absolutely. And the second question is, and let me ask you this, same thing, what's your first response? You don't have to voice it, just think about it. What does it mean to really live? What does it mean to really live? See, we're all, in a sense, on a quest. This series that we've been in is a quest for the meaning. What is the meaning of life? We're all on a quest for more than just meaning. We're on a quest for significance, are we? Aren't we? We're on a quest to find out what is this all about and what's our part in this. And so we can either, we have choices to make. We can sometimes be discouraged, and I've dealt with the same thing. I think, in all honesty, writing this message was a real challenge in some areas because I'm working through some of those things in my own heart about what it is to really live, because the day-to-day mundane life can distract, and it can pull us into a state where we get discouraged, where we lose hope. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But what is it to really live? And so the preacher has been saying, the preacher, who we assume is Solomon, the writer of Ecclesiastes, has been going through money and time and stuff and life and all these things. And so this week, we're going to kind of start by focusing on that very popular subject, death. It's such a great thing to talk about, but it gives us perspective. It gives us perspective, and that's where Solomon, or the preacher, is starting to do. He's putting the focus in on chapter 9. And so the question is, how are we living?
Yeah, how are we living? And so what perspective? And so we've talked about our perspective in life. We talked about what lens do we look through in all of life. And so chapter 9 and verse number 2 begins to kind of lay the foundation for what we're talking about today. This too, he says, I carefully explored. Even though the actions of godly and wise people are in God's hands, no one knows whether God will show them favor. The same destiny ultimately awaits everyone, whether righteous or wicked, good or bad. ceremonially clean or unclean, religious or irreligious, good people receive the same treatment as sinners, and people who make promises to God are treated like people who don't. He says, like, the same destiny awaits everybody, and that destiny for everyone until Jesus returns is like we're all going to die, no matter how different or how good or how bad, how religious who are or how irreligious they are. That destiny awaits all of us. The question is, how do we live our life in view of the hope that is ours? And that's what we're talking about, because that changes our perspective. Now, let me take us back to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 for just a moment, where our teacher, Solomon, writes this. He says, it seems so wrong that everyone under the sun suffers the same fate. Already twisted by evil, people choose their own mad course, for they have no hope. There is nothing ahead but death anyway. I want you to think about that for just a moment. We've talked about, and the teacher brings us to this point where we're to consider funerals, right?
Right.
Funerals and parties, because it's at a funeral where we really learn about life. But what we're reminded again is we're a follower of Jesus. We don't approach death like others do, right?
That's right.
He says, like, their own mad course, for they have no hope. But what about the follower of Jesus? What's our perspective? What's the lens that we look through when we live life? And 1 Thessalonians, Paul says this in chapter 4, verse 13. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve, what? Like the rest of mankind who have what?
No hope.
In other words, we live with a hope that people who don't follow him know, don't follow Jesus, they don't know that, the hope. And so that's to change our perspective. That's a change, that should change how we live from the very moment that we get up in the morning until we lay our head on the pillow at night. That changes our thought life. Life is unfair, we know that. We sometimes feel that way, don't we? Maybe that's the thought that comes to your mind when you wake up in the morning. Like, it's just like unfair that I have to go to the job I go to. It's unfair I have to live where I live. It's unfair. Those thoughts consume our minds. We're going to find out in just a moment. Those aren't the thoughts that should consume a person who lives with eternal hope, right? He goes on, already twisted by evil, people choose their own mad course, for they have no hope. There's nothing ahead except death. And I think what happens when people live with no hope, like, we're just trying to choose where we go, right? We're just trying to do this and do that and do this. There's no hope. There is no sense of direction. There is no sense of purpose in our life at all, because there are people who live without the hope. But what about people who live with hope? So that's you and that's me if we're a follower of Jesus. It's to change how we live from the moment we get up until we go to sleep at night. Now, the NIV, some of us have that version of the Bible, treats Ecclesiastes 3:3 this way. It says, this is the evil in everything that happens under the sun. We've talked about that, where the teacher brings focus to life under the sun. That is life down here. The same destiny overtakes all. The hearts of people, moreover, are full of evil, and there is madness in their hearts while they live, and afterward they join the dead. Now, there are some of us who kind of fall into this area of, like, choosing our own course, right? And then what do we do?
We all wrestle with it.
Yeah. We go, look, God, this is what my day is going to be like today. And so this is what I'm going to do. Now I'm going to ask you to bless it. You ever been there? This is the direction I'm going to go. I'm going to ask you to bless my direction. Instead of saying, God, my life is yours. From the moment I get up, look, you direct my life. You direct my steps. Psalms 37:23. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Every detail. Man, that's how we live.
And we can either live with hope or hopelessness. And so, if you notice that in verse 4, he talks about it. He says, those who have hope, they know where they're going. They have hope. They have the proper perspective. I was reminded of a movie called The Shawshank Redemption. And many of you have probably seen it. And it kind of follows the story of two main characters. Both of them are incarcerated. One is innocent. One is guilty. And Andy, who's the main character, has just spent, I think, 3 months in solitary confinement. And so he gets out, and they're in the yard, and he's talking with his buddy Red, who's in this movie. And Red has been incarcerated for a murder he committed when he was like 17 or 18 years old. He's been incarcerated for 40-plus years. So obviously all this is fictitious, but it gives you an idea of what's going on. So they have this discussion in the yard, and Red is lamenting the hopelessness of life. He's lamenting the hopelessness of being incarcerated. He recognizes what he's done, and he's asked for forgiveness, but he's just hopeless. And Annie says to him, and this is a direct quote, he says, "Red, hope is a good thing, and good things never die." Hope is a good thing, and good things never die. Well, Red's left to kind of contemplate this, and this is the same night that Andy actually escapes from prison and decides he doesn't want to be there anymore, and so he goes off and goes to Mexico. But Red finally is released on parole after 45-plus years. He's trying to adapt with society. He's still trying to wrestle with this hopelessness that he feels. So he lives in a halfway house. He's got a job. He's hopeless. And so he contemplates suicide. And one of the other cons actually was in the same room as he was in, had committed suicide. And Red had this inner monologue, inner turmoil that he goes through. And he finally comes up with this statement. He has a choice to make. And he says, "I have a choice. I either get busy living or get busy dying." If you've seen that movie, you remember that line. I can get busy living or I can get busy dying. See, the living know they'll die. That is a settled issue. We know we're going to die. But if we're going to live, what does that mean? A couple of weeks ago, like Tom was referencing, right, we talked about the funerals and talked about going to parties. I'd much rather go to a party than a funeral. But it's at funerals where we can gain some perspective. We find out what life is. We see someone who has lived a life, and we find out what kind of life they lived, and it gives us some perspective. So when we have that perspective, it allows us to make choices. It allows us to either focus on us or God and eternal things. And so that's our heart can either be focused on God or eternal things. We can't serve both.
Yeah, exactly. And so John puts it this way, the perishable things.
Yeah.
Is sometimes we focus on. So what we've been talking about a lot is what's our perspective in all of life. Now, we're data mining, right? So you know what that means. So we're digging. What we find as we data mine the book of Ecclesiastes is that there are repeating themes, but we're learning more and more as we go about these themes. And we've been taken numbers of times to John chapter 6, where Jesus really talks about getting our focus right. Do we focus in on the perishable or the imperishable? In verse number 26, Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, you want to be with me because I fed you. So you want to follow me because I'm giving you these things. Not because you understand the miraculous signs, but don't be so concerned about the perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you." So I want to come right back to that question. What are the thoughts that consume our minds when we wake up in the morning or as we go about our day? Don't raise your hand, but how many of us are so consumed with what Jesus says are the perishable things in life? We all know food's important, you know. We think of roof overhead, they're important things in life. Thank God for his provision in our life. But how many of us are so consumed with what Jesus says, those are the perishable things. Why are you following me? And it's really calling us to a perspective change in our life. Look, it's all about Jesus. It's all about who he is. It's all about making disciples. It's all about living our life in such a way that the kingdom of God is expanded. So what are the things that consume our mind? What are the things that are on our mind when we wake up in the morning? So somebody a long time ago said this, like, I know the context is like a little bit old here, but if you want to if you want to learn about someone's priorities in life, go to their checkbook. So now I guess we would go online.
Yeah.
Go to your browser.
Go to your browser.
Like,
yep,
that. So look at how you spend your money, because that will say a lot about your perspective. It will say a lot about mine, and it will say a lot about our priorities. If somehow, some way, we could like get into each other's brains and like extract all the thoughts out, what would it say about our priorities? Mm-hmm. what would it say about our perspective? Are we so consumed with like getting ahead in life and these are the perishable things that we miss our purpose for living? It's all about eternity. It's all about seeing people come to Jesus. It's all about that.
Absolutely. And you know, the good thing is the people who are following Jesus wanted to respond. And I think just like us, we want to respond to God's word. And so they said, they replied, we want to perform God's work too. This is John chapter 6, verse 28. What should we do? They were hungry. They said, what should we do? Jesus told them. And I can imagine that Jesus told them in a very kind of soft voice. He just said, this is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent you. He was talking about himself. Believe in the one he has sent you. Well, being human, what'd they say? Show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. What can you do? It gives me great pleasure to know that the people who physically walked with Jesus, including his disciples, struggled with unbelief. I don't know if you've ever thought that before, but the people who were walking with him struggled. It gives me great comfort to know that when I struggle, I'm just like they were, and I'm not physically with him. But you see, this is the key, though. God wants this from you. Believe in the one who has sent you. How often do we wait for a sign from God? I've heard this so many times through the years. I've probably said this in my own life. I'm waiting for a sign from God. I'm waiting for that moment when he tells me exactly what I'm supposed to do, and he tells me exactly where I'm supposed to go. And unfortunately, sometimes God wants us just to take a step. You said it a couple weeks ago, the Israelites grumbled and they murmured. And so Moses was so upset. It had to be one of those prayers. He was like, God, please help me. And God said, why are you taking all this? He says, tell him to get moving. I think sometimes God, and I say this in the mirror, I think sometimes God wants us to say, just take a step. I'll guide you. I'll correct you. But take that step. But oftentimes we as believers get stuck. We can even get paralyzed in waiting for that sign from God. And sometimes he just says, just take a step. Just believe and take a step. So they responded, and Jesus replied to them after this section. He said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. They'll never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But what does he say? But you haven't believed. So what does this come down to? It kind of comes down to faith. It really comes down to who is in charge. It really comes down to, can he provide everything that we need? Erwin McManus says it this way, and I love him. He's a pastor in LA. He's one of the guys I've read for a long time and a mentor. And he said, many times in evangelical Christianity in North America today, he says, Christians are like, they come on Sunday and they gorge on the food, talking about the Bible, the Word. They gorge on the food. They have a feast, and they said, then the rest of the week, we act like spiritual bulimics. Then we come back the next Sunday, we expect a feast, but we might not like what they're feeding. He says, we have to keep in perspective. We've got to get in faith. We've got to get in this idea of trusting God. We've got to get in this idea of having faith and believing in the one who was sent for us. See, life is full of choices, and every morning we have that choice, and we're going to say, who are we going to follow? Is it going to be our mad course that we define or try to define, or we try so hard to define, or are we going to let God lead us? Are we going to let God guide us?
You know, I do think it's our humanness, I think, that says, God, just show me. Just give me a sign. Now, he gives us signs. You know,
he does
that, but just show me, 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 show me. And so I'm just thinking, like, he gives us a sign every day. When we wake up, because we're breathing. Now I'm thinking that's a sign that we should do something. You know what I mean? So we wake up, we breathe. There's a sign for you. Do something. Like, go about your life, enthused about what Jesus is doing. Take the next step, because it's all about who he is. Now, John chapter, as we kind of data mine a little bit more here, says this in verses 47 through 50. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes has eternal life. Yes, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna, and they all died. But anyone who eats the bread of heaven, however, will never die. It's a perspective change. So there's a lot of choices that we're making each and every day, and they start from the time that we get up in the morning. We can't do it ourselves.
That's right.
Right?
We'll try.
We do try. We do try. But we can't do it ourselves. So listen to John chapter 6, verse 63 and 64. The Spirit alone gives eternal life. So if you're trying to make it on your own, give that up. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And sometimes we're driven by that, aren't we? Our human effort. Look, I'm going to be happy this way. It's the mad course thing. I'm going to do this. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. And he says, like, some of you aren't even believing. But here's what we know. True believing, true living is believing in Jesus. True living is trusting in him. True living is perspective, recognizing the eternal and keeping our focus there. Thank God. I mean, we all be thanking God for the meal on our table and the roof over our heads and all that kind of stuff. But they're perishable things. And what we're learning here is our perspective needs to change. And if that's the first thing that we're focused on in the morning, I think Jesus says, look, get your eyes on me.
Exactly. And I think God, he provides a perishable. In fact, it says, the Bible says, if I feed the birds of the air, how much more am I going to take care of you? And so, but we can get so focused on the perishable, and I can do the same. We can get so focused on the perishable that we forget that God has so much more for us. He has more blessing, and that's where our definition of blessing is so important. See, there's this popular theology out there that if you accept God and say, God, and then they're contorting a verse that says, ask anything you want and it shall be given to you. That's not necessarily a correct interpretation of that verse. And so we can get caught up in this, well, I'll just ask him for a yacht. I'll just ask him for all this stuff, these perishable things that are seemingly so important and seemingly going to fill me up to completeness. And yet it's only him who can fill us up. And God says the definition of blessing is different. And so we have to be careful of what our definition of blessing is. Is it what we think is a blessing? Or was what he thinks is a blessing? See, Matthew 6, 31 mm-hmm. through 33 says this. So don't worry about these things, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of who? Unbelievers. Here's that term again, unbelievers. Having faith, we have to believe. But your heavenly Father already knows all that you need. Seek the kingdom of God above all and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. I was at the eye doctor recently, and I'm at the age now where my eyes are beginning to change. And so I have to keep putting it out further so I can see better. And so I was at the doctor, and he was trying to dial my eyes in with all those fancy machines that they have. And so he was having a hard time, and I just couldn't get my eyes dialed in. And so me being the problem solver, I said, well, hey, why don't you try this? And he goes, let me be the doctor. I wonder how many times we do that with God. We say, well, what about this? What if we? And he goes, let me be God. Because we try our own mad course. We try our own path. And I was reminded at that doctor's visit, let me be the doctor. Let me be the expert. He knows exactly what you need, just like a doctor would know what you need. He knows what we need to flourish. And then keeping our focus on him, though, allows us to maintain his perspective versus what we think we need.
Yeah, exactly. So you're at the age where your eyes are changing.
Yes.
I'm at the age where my eyes have changed. So I know the whole routine.
Yes.
You know, go back to Matthew 6:33 for a second, because I do think we mess that scripture up from time to time. And so depending on what version of the Bible you have, yours might say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know what we've done as humans sometimes? We've defined what all these things are.
Mm-hmm.
So God, okay, it's back to that transactional relationship that we want to have with him. I'm going to seek you, and then God, all these things mean this, right? And so we're going to have all the nice stuff and the yachts and the cars and all this kind of stuff. But here's what happens in reality. When we begin to seek him, guess what happens? Our priorities begin to shift, and they begin to change. And now all of our desires come in sync with who he is and his desire for our life. And that's a perspective change in life. Mm-hmm. Seek ye first his kingdom, our priorities change, and now we're all about who he is and the mission he set before us. So let's head for home here.
Yep.
Here's what we're talking about. Living with a perspective with a lens that sees Jesus for who he is and what he's done in our life and the eternal hope that we have changes our motives. Regardless of where we find ourselves during the day, if you find yourself in an office, your motive for living changes. If you find yourself on a construction site, your motive for living changes. If you find yourself on a ship somewhere or on a boat, right, serving in the army, your motive changes when we live with an eternal perspective that's all about who he is and what he's doing in our life. It's all about eternity. It changes the way we think. Those things that consume our minds, consume our thoughts, it changes the way that we view others, people in our families closest to us in the world today. It changes the way we view and respond to God, and it changes the way that we act. It just changes the way that we live. That's the perspective change that we keep coming back to.
That's right. And so the question is, get busy living or get busy dying?
Yeah.
Which are we going to choose? You know, I like Romans 12, 1 and 2, and just reference it real quick. Out of the Message, which is a paraphrase, not necessarily a study Bible, but I like what it says. It says, here's what I want to do for you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, which is where most of us, I think all of us live.
Right.
You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. There's that phrase again. Seek first the kingdom of God. You will be changed from the inside out. You will be changed from the inside out. And so some action steps for us in practicality. You know, how do we do this on a daily basis? I think you said it, you may have already said it this service, but when you get out of bed in the morning, you may have to very well think, what is my day all about? Who am I going to serve? What is my perspective going to be? We have to be mindful of our expectation of God. Are we getting our feet hitting the floor and we're saying, okay, here I go, God, please bless my day? Or are we saying, hit the floor and saying, God, I want to do what you want me to do today to be a blessing? We may have to begin. Some of you may need to begin an eternal focus. You've heard us talking about this for the last few weeks, and you're like, I still don't fully get this, but I know I think I need this. That might be you today. Or you may have lost some focus. You may have had that discouraging moment, and you need to refocus in. There also might be one thing that could be, something could be blocking your eternal focus. It could be a sin. It could be a focus on something other than God. There might be something in your heart today that God's brought to your heart and said, I want to deal with this. I want to help you get over this. So today, in practicality, each of us have those questions to ask.
Right. So we're going to pray. And I know we've gone a little bit later. Thanks for hanging on. I love the way the Message kind of brings it right down to who we are. This is like your ordinary life. You know, that's where we all of us, like 99% of us are there, maybe 100%. We're just like ordinary people. It's our ordinary life, and we're going to turn that over to Jesus, maybe in brand new ways, because maybe our eternal perspective is off. Maybe we've allowed the perishable things to kind of sneak in and divert our attention away from who Jesus is. Do we live with that eternal hope? I'm going to pray for that, and then Jason's going to pray, and then we're going to go out here, and I pray, honestly, many of us will go out with a brand new perspective on life. Now, the enemy's going to come, and he's going to try to defeat us. He's going to do all that. We know that. That's his job. We shouldn't be surprised. That's what he does. But we're going to come back to the eternal hope that is ours and that we're to live with. Let's just bow our heads, shall we? Father, I thank you for the eternal hope that is each one of ours. It's everyone who has claimed to be a follower of you, everyone who has put their trust in you, our faith in you. You've changed our eternal perspective. I know that the enemy comes in and tries to get our focus on the perishable things in life, all the stuff in life. But God, you bring us right back to who you are and the hope that's ours. We live with a brand new hope. We don't, at death, we don't grieve like others because we know the end of this life is just the beginning of a brand new life. That's the hope. That's the eternal perspective. God, I would pray our minds would be consumed with that each and every day and the purpose and the mission of which we live with.
Lord, I pray that each morning when we arise, I pray for each person in this room, God, that we would begin to have, maybe begin or re-begin to have that proper focus, to let our feet hit the ground and to dedicate our day to you, recognizing that there's many things to get done, but focusing on what you want us to do, focusing on how you want to bless us, knowing exactly what we need, and then taking a step each moment, maybe it's minute by minute, following you, being led by you, being protected by you, being watched over and guided. Your word promises us that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And so, God, would you order our steps? Would we release the control so you can order our steps? Help us, Lord, to take a step, to get moving, to take a step of faith, and really begin living. Really begin living. Living in the joy. Living in the peace that comes from knowing you and walking every moment, every day with you. Not trying to struggle and toil so hard, but God, just to rest in who you are, to rest in your love and your peace and your joy. I pray that for myself and I pray that for my friends, that each one of us can begin to live that way. And God, now I pray as we go, as we exit those doors, Lord, it wouldn't have just been another gathering, but that you would have changed our hearts. And foremost, you would have changed our perspective. This whole book has been about perspective, Ecclesiastes. And God, we pray that for each of us, our perspective, our eyes and our hearts and our minds, everything would be turned to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. Now, next week, Ecclesiastes chapter 10. So just read it over and over and over. We'll be talking about what does it look like to live under God's protective hand. What's that look like? And what can we experience day to day? So that's coming up next week, Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Let's stand together, shall we? Adam and Erica will be in the lobby today if you want to talk to them about the church plant that we are partnering with, Gateway East Meets West, hashtag East Meets West, right on. So they'll be out there. Steve Silberman, one of Gateway's missionaries, is also in the lobby today. There's information in there about backpacks, a number of things going on. So thank you so much for being a part. Father, we just give this day to you. We give this day and every day to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. See you next Sunday.